for that. All right? It's his hand that is upon his work. All right, we kick off this morning with a great friend of the house. All right? And I've watched him recently online. It's clear he has a new anointing. All right? And a new expression. So let's rise our feet and welcome all the way from Houston, Texas, the pastor of Lighthouse Church, Pastor Kian Anderson. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, sir.
Come on, let's bless God for this man of God, Pastor Poju. You may be seated. I'm excited to be here with you this morning. I was just telling Pastor in the back, I thank God for his wife, because if it were not for her, I wouldn't be here. She is an amazing woman of God. Would you praise God for her? So I love the day sessions, because we get an opportunity, to teach, and there is a difference between preaching the word of God and teaching the word of God. And I am in love with your theme this year, about God's mercy. Everybody say God's mercy. And today, I want to unpack it. Now, I'll be with you for, 3 or 4 days this year instead of one. I'll be here with you the rest of the way. So get an opportunity to enjoy this amazing place. And so we're just going to have a conversation today. If you have a Bible, I want us to turn to the book of Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. And I'm going to do my best to do my Pastor Poju impersonation and teach you. When I watch him online teaching the word of God, I'm in awe of the amount of wisdom and knowledge that he has. And so today I'm going to see if I can duplicate that. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. The word of the Lord says, it is of the Lord's mercies. Everybody say mercies. That we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Next verse. Bible says, about his mercies, that they are new. Everybody say every morning. The reason why I wanted to talk about that is because we are right in the middle of the morning, which means at this very moment, you are sitting in new mercy. You're sitting in new mercies this morning. And what I love about that, he comes behind and says, just in case there is any doubt, just in case there is any doubt about the mercies of God, he wants us to know, great is God's faithfulness, that his mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. I want to talk on this subject this morning, the mystery of mercy. The mystery of mercy. The book of Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. Now, I wanted to talk about that because as Jeremiah is one of the greatest writers in the history of the Bible, I think it's important that we pay attention to that, because that immediately grabs my attention, because the importance of any book starts with the author. You hear certain authors, and you know immediately that book is going to be good because of who wrote it. For instance, why do we trust the Word of God? Because we know who authored it. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we know that even though men wrote it, they were inspired by God to write it. And so since we know that God is connected to the Bible, he's the author of the Bible, we believe it because of its author. Not, if it were not for him, we wouldn't believe it. There are other holy books. There's the Quran. There are other books, but because they were not authored by Yahweh, then we as Christians, we don't believe them as the route to salvation. Why? Because we believe in our holy book based on its author. So we believe that ultimately then that this is the word of God. So Jeremiah has a father. His name is Hilkiah, and he was a priest, which means that Jeremiah was the son of a priest. Okay, so his father was a prophet and priest. He is a prophet and priest. And so that means that if his father was a prophet, then he was raised in the house where the word of God was important. His father preached to him. His father taught him the word of God. And so he grew up around the word of God. And so it's amazing, because if you look at how he was raised, then you see what kind of prophet it becomes, because two of the things that we know that Jeremiah talks about in all of his writings, he wants to make sure. Number one, he is aggressively against false prophets. Anytime you see a false prophet in his purview, in his influence, in his space, Jeremiah is against false prophecy. He's also against greed. He's against all of these things. Why? Because his father was a prophet. He taught him how to prophesy. God called him to be a prophet. And now, to all 60,000 of you watching, and to all of the many thousands that are in this room, the same is true today. And I'm telling you this so that you can hear the history behind the mercy that we're going to be shouting about the rest of the week. I know that Jeremiah was labeled as the weeping prophet, right? Because he had a heart for the people. But I want you to not be connected or concerned with his label, because Jeremiah was way more than just a weeping prophet. And this is a word that I want to release in the house today. You should not respond, nor should you react, nor should you be concerned with any labels that are put on you, because God has a deeper anointing than the label that's on top of you. I want you to get this, because Jeremiah had no idea what kind of prophet he would be in history. And had he paid attention to the label that was put on him, he would have never got to the anointing that God put inside of him. Greater is he that is in me, not greater is he that is on me. So let me tell you, the label is on you, but the anointing is in you. And what is in you is always more powerful than what's on you. So he is a prophet. He wrote the book of Jeremiah. He wrote the book of Kings. He wrote the book of Lamentations, which we're studying today. The books of Jeremiah are essential. They are so essential, not only to Christianity, but to Judaism. Jeremiah has been quoted throughout the entire Bible by Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Revelator, who wrote the book of Revelation. He was quoted by the writer of the book of Hebrews, who we do not know who the author is. So what he has to say is so important that other writers wrote about him. That's amazing, because that these are other geniuses. These are other inspired writers. These are other people who God has given an anointing to. But Jeremiah is so anointed that the anointed copy. Jeremiah is so anointed that the called quote. He's so anointed that even people at the top feel like they are at the bottom in his presence. Do you not understand that there is such an anointing on your life that even people on the top will be inferior to what God has put inside of you? Do you know that there are people you look at right now and say, one day I'm going to be like that? And you don't really recognize that the anointing to supersede that is already inside of you. That you're looking up to somebody who looks up to you. That you are envisioning a life that looks like what somebody else has, not knowing that at the current moment, the anointing that you have on your life is going to supersede those who you look up to. Saul would have never known that David would supersede him because of where he started. He started head and shoulders above everybody else. When he was a king, David was a shepherd. But get ready for a season, because God told me to tell you, he's turning shepherds into kings. He's turning shepherds into kings. He's turning maids into queens. He's taking the last and making them first. He's taking the tail and turning them into heads. He wants me to come all the way here to tell you, do not settle in your current situation. God's about to shift something in your life and take you from the back of the line to the front of the line. If you believe it, somebody shout amen. Amen. His father was a well-known priest. Now, so if you look at that, you'll say to yourself, First Lady, we'll say, you know, Jeremiah, I really can't really listen to his ministry because he grew up in a nice household, right? If his father was a priest, he was taken care of by the temple. So Jeremiah grew up affluent. He had some things going on for him. But I wanted to let you know that he didn't just know prosperity. Jeremiah also knew persecution. Because of the accuracy of his prophetic gift. Now I'm getting ready to help you and preach to you. Because of the accuracy of his prophetic gift, the people tried to kill him. Why? Because prophecy is the gift of God to see things from afar. And anybody who can see things from afar become an enemy of the people who try to do things up close. You better hear me quickly. Watch this. Because whenever you can see far, the enemy is always trying to keep you from going far. And when I asked God why he wanted me to preach this to you, he told me, tell the people of Wafbeck and everybody who's watching around the world that the reason why the attack on your life is so great, are you listening? It's because there is a prophet in you. Oh God, I'm getting ready to help you. Because all over the continent of Africa, and all in America, and in London, all across the world, everybody's trying to get to the prophet. Pray for me. Prophesy over me. But what if I told you that there is a prophet already inside of you? What if I told you all you have to do was lay your hand on yourself and command yourself to be made whole? What if I told you that there was enough power inside of you to pray increase over your finances and over your health and over your life? What if I told you that the words of your mouth would accomplish much? I wish I had 1,000 people to shout these words. I am a prophet. When the attack on your life is great, is because there was a word inside of you. Jeremiah was almost killed because of the gift that he had. The devil never comes after anybody that doesn't have a gift. If you do not have a gift, you do not have an attack. But if you are being attacked in your life, if you have demons trying to enter your home, if you have curses and hexes over your life, if you have anything like that that is going on in your experience, it is a result of the fact that the devil recognizes that there is a prophetic gift on your life, and people with prophetic gifts irritate the devil. People who have prophetic gifts irritate the devil. Let me prove it to you. How many of you remember when Jesus Christ was in the tomb? On the third day, the Bible says he got up out of the grave and he met a woman at the tomb by the name of Mary Magdalene. We know Mary Magdalene as the woman who was there when Jesus Christ got out of the tomb. But let's think about this. The Bible says that prior to that, she had 7 demons that she had to be cleansed of. Why would the demons attack her? Because they knew that on the third day, she was going to have to go prophesy to Peter and tell Peter and the other disciples that Jesus Christ was out of the grave. So the demons that attacked her prior to Jesus' death were demons who knew that if they could shut her up early, she would not be able to make the announcement that Jesus Christ had got out of the grave. The attack on your life is always meant to silence you because there is a gift and an anointing of prophecy inside of you, and the devil wants to take it out. But God sent me from America to tell you that you are a prophet. You are a prophetess. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you're poor. I don't care if you're sick. I don't care if you're healthy. I don't care if you're married or if you are lonely. There is a gift inside of you, and you better learn to open up your mouth, because when you speak, demons tremble. When you speak, money comes. When you speak, health understands that it has to come to your body. Why? Because there is a prophet inside of you. Somebody shout, I'm a prophet. And just like Jesus cleansed her of her demons, he revealed the conspiracy to Jeremiah that they were trying to kill him, which protected his life. By the time this conference is over, the Lord told me to tell you, he's going to reveal to you what the devil wants to do next. He's going to reveal to you what the devil wants to do next, which means that you will never be subject to another attack because you will always see them coming. You will always see them coming. How many prophets do I have in this room? Now, that doesn't mean that you have to have a church. It just means that you carry the word everywhere you go. That when pastor speaks a word in this pulpit, he's no longer preaching to members of a church. He's preaching to men and women of the prophetic who will be able to take the word that comes from this place and take it to your house and speak the same thing over your children, and speak the same thing over your parents, and speak the same thing over your spouse, and command demons to leave your children alone. Why? Because there is a word that has been hidden in your heart that in the time of trouble you will not sin against God. The enemy hates people with prophetic gifts. So that's why he attacks the singers, because the singers sing prophecy. That's why he hates protocol people, because the people who do protocol, they are doing prophecy through structure. That's why he attacks the people on the camera, because if the camera is not here, then the word can't be spread on YouTube. And if the 60,000 on YouTube don't see it, then the 600,000 in the Netherlands won't see it. And if the 60,000 in the Netherlands don't see it, then it doesn't get to London. And if it doesn't get to London, then it doesn't get to America. See how he can just stop it with one person to keep the prophecy from expanding. But I've come to speak by the word of the Lord today, and I prophesy in this place that no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. I speak no attack on your mentality. I speak no attack on your body. I speak money in your pocket. I need 3,000 prophets to say, it is my time. I'm going to explain to you why this is important. Because I cannot tell you about mercy until you first understand that you are a prophet. I have to reverse engineer it. It would be like giving you keys to a car, but keeping the car at my house. Without understanding what the enemy hates, then you will not be able to use what you have to destroy his kingdom. The Bible says that when Pashur, who was the senior priest of the temple at the time of Jeremiah, listened, when he heard Jeremiah preaching, the Bible says that he beat him and put him in stocks. When he heard him speak the word of God, he put him in chains. But even though Jeremiah was in chains, he kept on preaching. Because true prophets never shut up in bondage. When you are a true prophet, a true man and woman of God, you don't stop in bondage. You stand up in it. You don't bow down and cower when life gets tough. You stand up and you tell the devil, bring your best shot. Jeremiah said, oh, you think you're going to shut my mouth because you have me in chains? The Bible says that Jeremiah, when they were beating him, listen to me, the Bible says that he began to pray even more. And he went and told the king, he says, I went to prayer and the Lord didn't even call your name. He says, I went down and the Lord didn't even call your name. And the more he said that, the more they beat him. The more he said it, the more they beat him. And then Jeremiah got to the place where he said, you know what, Lord? They were beating me, and I told myself that I would not say another word. I told myself that I would never ever call your name, but it was just like fire shut up in my bones. And I want to get at least 4,000 people in this place and watching online that will say, you know what? I
thought I was done with this Christianity thing. I thought I was going to be finished with this faith thing because the devil kept attacking me time after time. But I came to walk back to tell the devil today that it's like fire shut up in my bones. I came here to get on fire. I came here to get a word. I came here to double my anointing so that when I walk out of this place, I can walk into the next season of my life and let the enemy know that you were dealing with somebody who was scared, but now you're dealing with somebody who's a prophet. Do you know who you are? Who said that? That's how it ought to sound. I said, do you know who you are? He says, I'm a prophet. I don't want, don't need, the next time somebody says, what is your name? Say, prophet. The next time somebody say, what do you do for a living? Prophesy. Why? Because from here on out, the word of the Lord is going to be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, and everything you touch is going to be yours. Every place your foot shall tread is going to belong to you. Do I have any prophets in the house? God's going to give you houses you didn't build if you prophesy it. He'll give you vineyards you did not plant if you prophesy it. And you have to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you will prophesy, how do I prophesy? I don't always do it with my words. Sometimes I do it with my praise. Why? Because praise confuses the enemy. So what does that mean? That even though I am currently struggling, I'm also currently praising. And when I praise in my struggle, I send a signal to the devil that you should have killed me when you had the chance. But now that I am a prophet, I can praise until this day. It's like fire. Oh, shut up. In my bones. Here is the first thing that I need you to go and write down. This is going to blow your mind. It won't make sense, but the Lord told me to give it to you. Watch this. All right. Are you ready? Come on, shout. If you're ready, let me know. All right. How many women in this room have ever had a baby? Raise your hand. No need to ask the men. Women, is it painful to give birth? Let me tell you something. If men had to give birth to children, there would be none. No, you can't ask us to go through that kind of pain. If God had told Adam to reproduce, then he and Eve would have been the only people ever in the history of the world. Because men, we can't do that. But women, you can do it. And in childbirth, a woman, and I have a mother and sisters, and they'll all say, you know what, when you're having a child, you say, I'm never doing this again, but somehow. That husband of yours tricks you into doing it again, and here comes another son, and then you say, no, that's it. And then, here we go. Here comes the second one and the third one. And all of a sudden, so this is how life goes. And birth is painful. Birth is messy. And I intend to prove to you in the next moments that I have that mercy is a womb. Mercy. Everybody say mercy is a womb. Say it again, mercy is a womb. Last time, mercy is a womb. So this text about mercy isn't the work of a man who does it no struggle. This text is the work of a man who knows agony and pain. Now, like Jeremiah, some of us in life are just tired. You've just had enough. You may not say it because as Christians, we're afraid to say we're tired. As Christians, we are afraid to say, I don't have faith. As Christians, we are afraid to come in church and throw ourselves on the altar and say, you know what? I don't have the faith today to believe what that preacher's talking about. So we have to come to church and pretend like, yes, I believe. But the truth is that some of you in the room are tired. You're tired and you've come to Wafbeck every year, like the man at the pool of Bethesda, waiting on the angel to trouble the water, you watched somebody else get their miracle and you went home and said, I didn't get mine. And so you get tired of coming. In fact, some of you all are watching online. You didn't even come in person this year because you said, you know what? I went last year. Nothing happened. I went the year before that and nothing happened. Last year we were online and nothing happened. The year before that we were in person and nothing happened. And so I go online and nothing happens. And I go in person and nothing happens. I'm tired and you stayed home. But by the time I finish with you today, you will know that mercy is a womb. And since mercy is a womb, it doesn't always produce the day you come. A woman doesn't get pregnant and have the child the same day. There is a process where the seed that has been planted in you grows over time. And I came to announce to you, Wafbeck, some of you all are due. You are due. You're pregnant, and it is time to produce this baby, and it's going to be agony. It's going to be painful. You're going to have to push, but there is something coming out of you. Are you ready for this? Jeremiah says, instead of complaining, I meditated. I meditated on mercy. What is meditation? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, this is Psalms 1:1, is in the law of the Lord, and he doth meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it day and night. You all know this. In every cow, they have different chambers in their stomach, and they chew food, and it goes down, and then later on in the evening, they regurgitate it and chew on it again, and it goes down. So when you see the word meditate in the scripture, it is actually like the digestion of a cow. That means that the word that I'm giving you right now, you are chewing on it and you are swallowing it. But when you get home later on today, then you've got to spit it up and chew on it again. You're going to have to go to YouTube and watch it again. That's called meditation. So watch this. Meditating. Here's what Jeremiah is doing. He's meditating on the word of God. And he uses the word compassions. He said his compassions fail not. Raham in the Hebrew. And it gives the idea of a womb that has a fetus inside of it. So what does a womb do for a fetus? I'm glad you asked. One of the things that you will recognize about a fetus, and you can Google this, is that there is a liquid inside of the womb that is mixed with blood and water. It surrounds the baby so that the baby doesn't have injury as the mother is moving around. Okay, so that there is a liquid inside of the mother to make sure that if she goes down a step, the baby doesn't get hurt. Or if she's in the car and the brakes hit too hard, the baby won't be injured. Why? Because she or he is protected by this water and blood inside. And I started to think about that, Pastor, because as Christ birthed the church, the Bible lets us know that when he was nailed to the cross, they stuck a spear in his side and water and blood came running out of him. So then I recognize that the same way a mother has liquid inside of her to protect her fetus, no wonder the Lord puts the blood of Jesus Christ on us to protect us from injury. I wish I had somebody in here today. So now what we must understand is that the amniotic fluid that is inside of the body of Christ is called mercy. It is by his mercies we are not consumed. You want to know why you didn't die? Because you were covered in mercy. You want to know why you were not stillborn? Because you were covered in mercy. You want to know why cancer won't kill you? It's because you are covered in mercy. You want to know why the enemies and the demons have not been able to get to you? Because you are a prophet and you were covered in. So when Jesus Christ was stuck in the side and the Bible says water and blood came out of him, what he wanted them to see is that he was full of mercy. He was full of mercy. You have been protected by this fluid called blood, which is a reflection of the mercy of God, because the wages of sin is death. So the reason why he covered you with mercy is because every time you sin, you risk eternal injury. Every time you sin, you risk eternal injury, but because he has you covered by mercy. See, we're asking God for his mercy, but what you must understand is that they are new every morning. Every time you wake up, you ought to just shout mercy, because it was mercy that got you up. If it were not for mercy, you would have been consumed. If it were not for mercy, you would not be here this morning. Do you know that I am looking at a room full of mercy carriers? That everybody who's watching me, you are wondering, when is mercy coming? The fact that you are alive today means that you have already encountered mercy. Everybody shout mercy. Say mercy is a womb. Now this is going to get really in depth, because I want you to think about a womb, and inside of a womb, there is something called a placenta. Right? It's an organ that looks like a flat pancake if you were able to see it. But what you must understand about the placenta is that every woman is born with one. It just stays the same size until she conceives. Every woman in here was born with one, unless there was some sort of abnormality. But it's a flat pancake. She doesn't need it until she conceives. Here is the deal, though. When she conceives, the placenta grows with the baby. It doesn't stay the same size. It grows with the baby. There is something in you that grows with your gift. But if you don't feed the gift, if you don't pray for the gift will die. So there is something inside of you that only grows with the gift that God put inside of you. Are you with me so far? Now, the earth for humanity was the original placenta, for out of the dirt came man. But since the earth was full of sin, it could no longer expand. So God has to do away with the laws, the law, L-A-W-S. He has to do away with the law. Listen, and now he introduces a new placenta, which is salvation. Now, salvation we can grow in. Why? Because there is the salvation of works. There is the salvation of grace. Then there is working salvation. See how salvation can grow with us. So now we move from glory to glory. So salvation will grow for us. And now what does a placenta do? It brings in oxygen to the baby, because the baby is underwater, cannot breathe. So the placenta brings in the oxygen. Well, what does God do in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7? He breathes into the mouth of Adam. Oxygen. You remember? Into the dirt. He breathes into the dirt, the original placenta. But now he breathes into his word. And our word, the word, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So John 3 says, ye must be what? Born again. So the original placenta, the dirt, can no longer be our house. So now we have to have salvation. We go from law to grace. You see, grace grows. And so now we are in grace. Everybody say in grace. Say it again, in grace. Ephesians 4 and 7 says, to every man there is given a measure of grace. Are you with me so far? So now you've got the placenta, but then let's go a little further, and I'm almost done. There is the umbilical cord. And the umbilical cord is where the food goes from the mother's mouth to the child. I'm getting ready to help you. Now, how many of you all in here cannot swim? If you cannot swim, let me see your hand. Raise it high. This is not uncommon around black people. This is not uncommon. I get a chance to go all over the world. Anytime there is a lot of melanin in the skin, there's a lack of agility around the water. But did you not know that your fear of water is unwarranted, because you were born in water? You used to could breathe underwater. And the best time to teach a child to swim is when they are young. You can take a 3-month-old baby and just throw them in the water. They are not afraid. You know why? Because they just came out of it. The reason why people are afraid of mercy is because they spent too much time out of it. But I am calling you back to a life of mercy. I am calling you back to a life of power. I want you to get back to it. And when your mother gave birth to you, watch this. The Bible lets us know this. And I'm going to show you that on the other side. But when your mother gave birth to you, one of the signals that you were going to be born is her water broke. Not uncommon, because when Jesus, God the Father, delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, they had to walk through the Red Sea. But not just water, he parted it. They had to walk through broken water. And then when Jesus Christ is baptized by John, he is baptized in the river. And when he takes the body of Jesus and places him in the water breaks again. And I am speaking to every person in here that is a pregnant prophet. That's what I should have called this sermon, pregnant prophets. Your water's about to break. And whenever the water breaks, there is something coming forward. In the next 30 seconds, I want you to begin to tear the roof off of this place, because there is something that is about to happen in your life. There is something that is about to come, and it is not going to come just because you were born. It's going to come by screaming and pushing and agony. But once you have been tried by the fire, you shall come forth like pure gold. I need every pregnant prophet in this place today to open up your mouth and begin to shout to God that something is about to come out of you. So there's a cord. There is a cord coming from the mother to the baby. But in this case, it's coming from the father to us. It's coming from the father to us. That means that God, through me, is trying to get something to you. The exchange that you and I are now having is letting us know that mercy is a cord. It is a cord. It is something that connects us, and God is trying to get what will take place in this place. And if I know Dr. Bill Winston, he'll probably be down there. If I know Pastor Dollar, he'll probably be down there. Pastor Hannah's going to be running all around here. But every one of us will be trying to get something to you, because mercy comes through a cord. The purpose of this message, and I've got many more, and I knew what kind this would be. The purpose of this message, listen, was not for me to preach to you. The purpose of this message was to get you to preach to yourself. Because as long as you have to wait on Sunday to get a breakthrough, as long as you have to wait on a conference to get a breakthrough, you will always struggle. But when you are a prophet and you need a miracle, you can speak one up no matter where you are in your life. When you are a prophet, you can be walking down the street waiting on the bus and speak a miracle to everybody at the bus stop. When you are a prophet, you can walk into the house and you won't have to send a message to the church and say, or a direct message to pastor and say, Pastor, Papa, I need you to pray for me. No, I don't need you to pray for me. Because I'm already praying. I'm a prophet. I'm already praying for my house. I need you to come in agreement and pray with me, but I don't need you to pray for me because I am a prophet. I know how to pray for myself. When you get home, I want you to take your hand, put some oil on it. Touch a child on the head and say, I command you to be special. When you get home, I want you to put oil in your hand and touch every doorknob and touch every window and let every devil know when you see this oil, you go to the next house. Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. If you have a car, I want you to put oil on the car. Or if you don't have a car, I want you to put oil on your hand. Go touch somebody else's car and say, car, come to me. Because when you are a prophet, you can speak those things that are not. I prophesy millions of Nairi in this place today. I prophesy millionaires that arise up in this church. I prophesy. I was looking at the internet the other day and I saw your pastor. He has crazy faith. I see you guys have built another sanctuary and another parking lot and another and another and another and another and another in a pandemic. In a bad economy, at a time where the whole world is going crazy, he's building. You know why? Because land and buildings and funds don't respond to the scared. They respond to the prophet. And you could be building your life the same way he's building this church if you would open up your mouth and start prophesying. I bet you he stood up here and told you, we're going to build this and we're going to buy that and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And you believed it. Why? Because the prophet spoke it and then you responded to it. Do you not know the world is waiting to respond to your words too? So while he's saying, listen, while he's saying, I prophesy buildings, what you should be saying is, I prophesy that I will be able to finance one of those buildings by myself. So you got that. You got that. You got that. If he said the next building is going to cost 10 million, then you ought to be saying, God, give me 20 million so I can give 50% to the kingdom. Somebody say prophesy. Say prophesy. Say prophesy. Jeremiah is being beaten and he is still prophesying. And I'm going to let you know that poverty does not excuse a person from prophesying. It doesn't matter if you live in poverty, you still got to prophesy. It doesn't matter if you're sick, you still got to prophesy. It doesn't matter if there are witches in your family, you still got to prophesy. It doesn't matter if curses have been put over your life, you prophesy until the curse is reversed. You speak until spells are broken. You speak until demons tremble. Are you still here with me? The reason why you are still alive is because there is a prophecy inside of you that is waiting to be birthed. I prophesy Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 over your life. And I want you to hear this. And here's what the word of the Lord says. Not by might, nor by power, but by your spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The next thing that's going to happen in your life is not going to come by might. It's not going to come by power. It's going to come by the spirit. Did you hear what I said? It doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter if you're related to people in government. It doesn't matter if you come from a line of Herod, of people who have a lot. It doesn't matter. It's just coming by the Spirit. You know, the other day, I want you to recognize, I have an affinity for this continent and the people of it. I remember just the other day, I was at Bishop Jakes' 45th year anniversary. And we were there, and one of the queen mothers from this continent came over, and he said that they were having a conversation. Listen to this. And the man said something to the bishop, and the bishop said these words. He says, I've always been skeptical of some of the people that I've met from the continent. The man said, why? He says, well, some of the individuals that I met was so arrogant towards me. Says some of them were so arrogant. And this is what he said to them. Are you listening to me? He says, it's the same way you would have acted had you not been enslaved. And when he said that to me, I started to think about the advantage that some Americans think that they have compared to some of those who are on this continent. But what you represent are the people who were too strong to be enslaved. My ancestors, for whatever reason, were not able to resist it. So I ended up being born as an African in America in a city called Gary, Indiana. By the way, we got all the way there and were still in poverty. America didn't change anything from my original ancestors. My grandfather had to pick cotton. His father had to pick cotton. He was a modern day slave. What you represent is a group of people who had so much fluid around, so much mercy that you were able to resist. Your ancestors did not have to go through the door of no return. Your ancestors did not have to fight being stuffed in ships. And yet here you are in this continent looking at television and YouTube, wishing you had what we have, not recognizing you got your own mercy. Oh, I feel like preaching right now. Somebody shout mercy in this place. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I came to tell you in this place that there is a new mercy in this house. There is a new mercy over your life. There is a new mercy over your family. And you better get ready because it's coming right now. As a matter of fact, over the next 30 seconds, I want you to get a blessing in your mouth and begin to prophesy it in this room and speak those things that are not as though they were. I need every prophet to shout prophecy. Come on, open up your mouth and begin to shout prophecy over your life, over your health, over your finances, over your children. Prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. Can these bones live? Prophesy, prophesy. It's like fire shut up in my bones. Prophesy, prophesy. Pastor, I'm in pain. Prophesy. Pastor, I don't have any money. Prophesy. Pastor, I'm sick. Prophesy. Pastor, I'm confused. Prophesy. Pastor, I'm depressed. Prophesy. No matter what's happening, prophesy. Open up your mouth and prophesy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Strongholds are being broken. Demons are trembling. Why? Because prophets are speaking. Prophesy. Prophesy. New locations. Prophesy. Millions of Nairi. Prophesy. 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 This one's for my son. This one's for my daughter. Prophesy. Hallelujah. Now open up your mouth and begin to shout unto the Lord, for there are miracles coming. Open up your mouth and shout. Hallelujah. Let me see if I can do this and I'm done. Does anybody have a bottle of water? I want, just hold it up. I won't ask you to give it to me. Just hold it up. If they can put a camera on this young lady with this bottle of water. She has a bottle of water. And if she doesn't drink it and she takes it home and she puts it in the refrigerator, it will always be good, but it won't always be new. The moment that bottle was packaged and shipped from wherever it was shipped, got to this place, to that place, finally to this place, to your hand, to wherever it's going next, look at it traveling. But it's no longer new. But where the water came from, the source, every time the water comes from that spigot, it's always new. What I'm trying to get you to see is that mercy is the water, not the bottle. That every morning you wake up, there is new mercy. When you wake up tomorrow, you won't be drinking bottled mercy. Oh, you get it? It won't be bottled mercy. It'll be fresh manna. It'll be fresh manna. That's what was happening to the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. It wasn't a piece of bread that fell to the ground. They didn't eat it and then it went back. No, every morning that was new manna. You are getting ready to walk into a season where every day you walk, every day you wake, there will be new mercy. Somebody shout new mercy. If you believe it, shout like you lost your mind in this place. And if you doubt it, if you doubt it, if you say it's going to happen for Pastor Hannah, but it's not going to happen for me, if you doubt it, just read the last part of the 33rd verse. Great is thy faithfulness. God is too faithful not to keep his word. If you want to look at somebody who's a product of mercy, just look up here. Just look up here. Look at me. So I've been blessed. I'm 40 years old now. I've been able to preach a lot. And one of the things you're tempted to do is you're tempted to save your testimony for the end, because when you're young, you think you always have next. The older you get, you realize that only time you got is now. The last 4 years of my life are a direct reflection of one thing and one thing only. Mercy. I live in America. I went through a divorce years ago. And I thought in my mind that when the divorce was over, so would my ministry be. I thought that was it. In fact, Pastor will tell you, I direct messaged him and said, Pastor, my marriage didn't work, went through a divorce, and I'll understand if you don't invite me to the conference, because I've been through a divorce. So I'll understand. We'll still be friends. My feelings won't be hurt. I didn't recognize that I had been covered by this liquid, the amniotic fluid that would protect me. When you're suffering injury, you don't recognize that you've been covered by the blood. So here I am trying to get ahead of disappointment. And your pastor messaged me back these words: see you in January. And here I am. I was here online last year, the year before, and this year. And everything that God has given me in the last 4 years has quadrupled. You have to understand this. In America, churches don't grow when the pastor's divorced. It's over. Since the divorce, our church is 50,000 square feet bigger. Since the divorce, our church is 5,000 members more stronger. Since the divorce, I can go after thing after thing after thing after thing. Maybe this is why. Because when it is time for the baby to be born, the cord must be cut. I'm wondering how many of you are still connected to dead things. Because when you are connected to a dead thing, it cannot feed a living thing. And the thing in you is so alive, so big, so strong. God gives gifts without repentance. And all of his promises are yes and amen. And there is not a single weapon formed against you that will be able to prosper, not because you're perfect, but because you're covered. Mercy is a womb, and we live in it, and it grows with us, and it feeds us. But one day, and I don't know if it's this year, I don't know if it's next year, one day, because to every man that's given what? A measure of grace. One day, you're going to have to get your life together, because there's going to come an end to the manna falling. And one day, water will no longer come out of a rock. One day, in order to get the water, John chapter 2, you're going to have to bring him the water pot. So in order to go from mercy to miracles, there was a transition that takes place. In mercy, everything is done for you. In miracles, you have to do something for yourself. Lord, I have nobody to put me in the pool. I've been here 38 years. Do you want to be made whole? Pick up your bed and walk. Lord, we are thirsty. We've run out of water or wine. You want wine? Bring me the water pots. Lord, my hand has been withered. You want to be made whole? Stretch forth. Lord, I cannot see. I'm blind. Go to the river and wash. When you go from mercy to miracles, the manna stops. And now you have to work the works of the one that sent you while it is day, for the night is coming. As I released this microphone, you walked into this room today as people, but you will leave this room today as prophets. And prophets, prophetess, women and men of God, when you are prophetess or prophet, you listen to the word differently. You came in as a member. You're leaving out as a prophet. You came in not knowing what to do. You leave out knowing that when you speak it, it will do what you said it will do. God, I pray over these prophets that you will put a word in their mouth that will change their circumstance and situation. I speak over this body of people who are connected to a leader that is directly connected to the source of heaven. I pray overflow in this place. The grace of a first lady who brings an aroma to the building, I pray that her anointing would be on every woman flowing in this place. I pray to women who have been praying about babies that you will fill their wombs with mercy. I pray over stillbirths. I pray over birth defects. I pray that poverty will evaporate and that this is a blessed house. And this Wafbeck and this covenant place will, by the end of this week, produce thousands upon thousands upon thousands of prophets. In the name of Jesus, I need every prophet to shout in this place. I said, I need every prophet to shout in this place. Come on, prophets, open up your mouth. Come on, prophets, open up your mouth and give God glory.